Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him now? The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Gordon again. Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line!
Yes! It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And welcome into the Jump Around, a Badger dedicated show live on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channels. I'm Jim Rutledge, live from the lobby of, I think I'm in a Hilton hotel in Oklahoma City.
Very to himself right now, Jim Rutledge as well. Keeping the volume at a minimum right now.
Yes.
You mean you don't want to say it is from the top of your lungs out in Oklahoma lobby at the hotel?
It is more reserved for Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I want to jump around
to have its own special open there. So he's Pablo Iglesias. I'm Jim Rutledge. I'm rocking my Oklahoma quarter zip here because it's Jordan brand. And Pablo, I realize I'm a stand for Jordan. I got a Jordan backpack, and I'm wearing Jordans today. So lots
Jordan
of Jordan here going on for today's show. And Oklahoma's a heck of a football team. And to tie it to the jump around, former Badger Jay Valai is the defensive coordinator here and a very good guy and a former ESPN Madison intern as well. So bringing it all the way back to the Badgers, who pulled off, you know what? I don't want to say it's a miracle because it's just sports, but man, it was pretty remarkable. The game against Washington, 13-10. It was ugly. It was cold. It was wet. It looked like it was from the 1930s, and it was glorious. The whole thing was glorious, Pablo. I'll share my experience at the game as I sat in a pretty empty section. Not a bad section. I think Z.
There was a lot of space looking at it from above, for sure.
Yeah. And I sat in section Z and kind of over by like the new touchdown club, just a little bit to the left of it. And not bad, you know. Not a bad angle to see a lot of what's going on. I saw Daniel Neal look like he had a little something going on early. Unfortunately, he has what looks like a catastrophic injury there for Danny as he's carted off the field. And then Carter Smith comes in, who I thought was going to come in. I had heard that he was getting a lot of reps, and I had heard that they were probably at least going to play him. And Evan Flood, to his credit, did actually report that. All I said is I was hearing things because I didn't have enough information. I'm not as connected as Evan to truly go out and say I'm reporting. I was just sharing some information that I learned. And Carter comes in, and obviously he has to play the whole game. And here's the thing I'll say, is the defense was spectacular throughout, and there was so much juice. The whole crowd started cheering when Carter came in. It was so exciting. And the game was like, it was just a little bit of juice because it's a new quarterback and you're feeling excited about it that I didn't even realize until halftime that they hadn't completed a forward pass. And then when they won the game, I didn't realize the punter was the player with the most passing yards for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Sean West.
And also, right before the fourth quarter, I was like, maybe I should go. I'm like, wait, they're in this. Because I'm so conditioned now being like, oh, I'll just go after the jump around. Who cares? But I'm like, wait, they're actually in this. I can't leave. I didn't storm the field, but the crowd was electric. The snow added to it. The cold added to it. Everyone there felt like they were a part of something unique and special and like you were in it. And rushing the field, I didn't even blink an eye at it. It wasn't until I got on the Dumpster Fire app Twitter where some people were crapping on it. And I was like, no, it's one of those times you just had to be there. I didn't even blink an eye when I was there and I saw everyone. I wasn't going to go on the field. But when I saw everyone go on the field, I was like, yeah, makes sense to me. First win over a ranked opponent since, 2021? First ever under Luke Fickell, and it was exciting, and they deserve all the the love and pats on the back for that game. I don't know what it means long term. We'll get into that in a minute. I don't even care what it means for the season. I'm happy for the kids, and I'm happy for the fans who showed up.
Yeah, I was there for that 2021 game when they stormed the field against Iowa. Wisconsin were favorites, and yet they weren't ranked, but still felt good. It's a trophy game. That was a fun feel-good moment. But compared to this, with especially that week that Wisconsin had, and not just Luke Fickell, but Chris McIntosh, the entire program, the entire university too, that week leading up into this game just felt so heavy. And to this point, too, does it change a lot? No, but is it a stepping stone in terms of where we could look forward to in terms of hope? Luke Fickell, I loved that he pointed out with Carter Smith that he gave them a sense of hope. He was just a spark, though, in my mind of what he did. He wasn't a stellar quarterback. We'll talk about him a little bit more, but from the bigger picture, you have Cooper Catalano, friend of the jump around now, which is awesome. Cooper Catalano balling out, now being the freshman, defensive player of the week for the Big Ten. And then you have Mason Posa, too. It's awesome to see that those three guys, just to name, true freshmen, making an impact in ways that we didn't expect to, because we talked about it last week, too, putting in Carter Smith. Why not? Why not go for it? Why not put him not at risk, but just go for it and see what happens? Because even if you were to go 0-4 in this stretch, you might as well try something new. Just see what happens. And now they have at least one win in this final stretch, which I think to an extent gives you some type of optimism, but it's cautious optimism too right now. That's where I feel like. But all in all, look, if you want to soil in someone's Cheerios and talk about storming the field and bash on them. But you know what? Again, for the emotional week, for how this felt for everybody, for the students too, that really haven't experienced a lot over these last few years. We've got our interns in here too. I'm not sure if they stormed the field. They're shadowing a little bit. But for everybody right now, if you're a graduating senior too and haven't gotten to see a lot of marquee football games or marquee moments, this is going to be something that students talk about for the next 10 years. One of my friends too, I love. He's longtime season ticket holder, well removed from college, and he said, never expected to have this text, but I'm storming the field with my mom. Never thought that I would be sending this text off to people. And that's just one of the big moments, too, that I took away from Saturday's win.
Yeah, Riley Yauch, you did the post game, and you had some interesting thoughts that I want to get into because I think your co-host, Adam Mertz, did not agree with you on Wisconsin College Game Day, the post game edition.
Exactly.
But I think there's two sides to it. But Mertzy is one of the few people on our air that's more grizzled than I am as far as covering the team and being around him. And Tauscher, and I guess Wilde, that's about it. So what did you take away? I want your youthful exuberance first before we get into old crusty Mertz.
Yes. So I got to the Seminole Tap is where we did the post-game show.
Great place.
And I got to listen to Matt LePay call the Mason post a strip sack on the radio on my drive over. And I love how much energy he's putting into all his good calls this season just because there's been so little to cheer about. It's fantastic. So I go in fired up. We watch the end of the game. I'm freaking out. If this wasn't a public venue, I literally would have been sprinting back and forth down the halls, jumping up and down, whooping, hollering. I was so happy. And I still stand by my take that this has the possibility of being a program-shifting win for the Wisconsin Badgers. We haven't had this in the Luke Fickell era up until this point. First-ranked win back in 2021 against Iowa, that barely counts. Like, this program hasn't even had a ranked win in forever, or a significant win in forever. Where I think we've talked about on this show where the Badgers are the underdog and they come in and they beat a better team, and we finally got to see that. So winning is good for the soul, as we've heard lots of people say this week. Winning cures all, and it gives confidence moving forward. And we haven't been able to see any team gain any sort of confidence in the Luke Fickell era because they don't win. And even when they do win, it's not convincing and it doesn't feel good. So this is the first feel-good win we have had in years. And just, I was at player availability yesterday. We'll hear from Mason Posa later, a snippet I got. The vibe in the McLean Center was so much different. Everyone was lighter. They were joking around, having a good time. Hopefully, they can take some of this momentum into Indiana. I don't think they're taking them lightly. But the fact that they got this big win, they have momentum to carry and move forward, I think is huge. And if this leads to even two more wins, even just wins over Illinois and Minnesota and momentum into next year, I think that you're going to look back at this game. Like, this is going to be the moment, the watershed moment that turned everything around. If Luke Fickell ends up completely turning the Badgers around and becoming the coach we think he is, and he starts doing what we want him to do, we're going to look back at this game. So I think it has the opportunity to be program shifting.
No longer going to boo at a bar. Go booze at a bar eventually. That's
exactly
what it's going to become.
Well, win or lose, we booze.
Win or lose, we booze.
It doesn't matter,
booze,
but...
booze with a cause. Booze with a cause. If you're of age.
Exactly.
So with what you're saying, the qualifier could, yeah.
Yeah.
And shift? Sure. Like, I mean, you didn't go hard on it.
No, I chose my words.
Winning national championship.
Chose my words very carefully.
Well, we do have a quick question in the Milwaukee chat. The question is, did the Badgers win the game or did the Huskies give the game away? I know we want to talk more big picture here, but I don't know if I necessarily want to focus on that of thinking that it's just Washington that gave the game away. It wasn't a perfect product for Wisconsin, but again, long term, they're doing the things that they need to do. They did the things that they needed to do. It wasn't a pretty way of doing it. Even winning ugly is still winning at the end of the day, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and like they blocked a punt. Like they had a blocked punt and a missed field goal. They had every opportunity to lose this game. They didn't play totally clean, and they were able to get the job done. So I don't think that Washington lost the game. I think the Badgers' defense forced Washington's offense to make mistakes, and they did, and the offense did just enough to get the job done.
I agree, and look, the defense went out and won that game. So, yes. I mean, the defense played well enough to win. The offense, yeah, they caught the right breaks, and that's just what it is. But big picture, I like what this can do for the team of winning being contagious. I feel like they have a puncher's chance against Bielema and Illinois and in the Minnesota game. And it's because if they lost to Maryland, they're going to let Alabama beat them twice. Alabama ended up beating them a bunch of times because they're starting to feel good about it. They lose to Alabama, they get kind of housed there, then they lose to Maryland and everything kind of rails. It can go the other. Now the point does come into effect, but the team can turn this around as long as they don't lose their positive attitude and momentum after the Indiana game. Just hang in there, make it look like the Oregon game, and then you can feel like you got a chance against Illinois and against Minnesota later.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if that does happen, then everyone, for as awful as this season has been, everyone has a completely different perspective than they did just a couple games ago. Just last week, just less than a week ago, when Chris McIntosh made the announcement that Fickell's here for another year. And I think that's a big deal. And again, you're going to look back at this Washington game and be like, that was the turning point. They just needed to get one. Don't let the Badgers get one, and they let us get one.
This 100% flips my idea of how, as we said, as Jim, you said, a puncher's chance. I feel like there's even a bigger chance, honestly, for Wisconsin against Illinois. Illinois slipping at the wrong time for them, but the right time for Wisconsin. Minnesota and Wisconsin, it's going to be a coin flip, more so just because you're on the road. But you are still battling. You're right there. It's not like Minnesota is this team that's eons ahead of Wisconsin right now. They kind of still seem like that same type of PJ Fleck team. Is it a coin flip still? Yes, but I think from senior night, the juice, I'll go back to what I said at the start of the season. Even though this team has become a completely different team than I thought they were at the start of this year, I still think that this is a great opportunity for them to turn heads, to excite people on senior night. There's a lot of juice. Cooper Catalano even saying last week, they do it for the seniors. They do it for this group. So why not go out there and end the seniors' time at Wisconsin at Camp Randall with an exclamation point? This week, I get it. You're facing the number two team in the nation. That's going to be a tough challenge. How do you bounce back from there? Because if they pull off the upset at Indiana, sick. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I still think this sets a good tone for Indiana and Minnesota to end the season on high notes.
Yeah, we're having a totally different conversation if they can somehow beat Indiana.
Yes.
But Jim and Pablo, I have a question for you. So did this win at all change your perspective on Luke Fickell as a coach? Because obviously he's still made tons of mistakes, but like his entirety, by and large, at Wisconsin, he has been a bad coach. But did this win and how people are talking about him now and how the players have responded to him change your view on him and sort of the state of the program at the moment?
I would say I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt now that, hey, you know what? He is the coach that he was at Cincinnati. And those games against Oregon and I think maybe Penn State, those games that they were close, that they just kind of fell apart. The quarterback didn't get the job done and made a brutal mistake and they lost them. And maybe the quarterback, all those injuries, maybe he's a little better. I don't think they're doing what they need to do with this program, but right now. But now it's a little bit of buy-in where I say, you know what? I'm not saying this. It goes back to what I thought this team could be this year. Like, hey, they'd be a 6-win team. And obviously they're not going to be. But my point is that, like, now it's like, okay, I can believe in Fickell more if they end up winning two out of their last three games. Or even if they end up winning the Minnesota game and they look good in the other ones. It's like, okay, you know what? I feel good about where this team is at.
I'll flip the Luke Fickellism on him. It's not about being occasionally great. It's about being consistently good. Can this team be consistently good? Are they able to, as he proclaims, as he pushes to this locker room, can they be consistently good? You did it once, and again, this isn't exactly how you want to win Wisconsin football games every single step of the way, but how are you going to do it? I'm with you, Jim, on this one, giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think there is an opportunity there. But even though, yes, I said too, last week or that past week was not great for Wisconsin. It was essentially going on the media circuit and trying to do a lot of damage control. But you still have to, and Tausch had pointed out on Willie and Tausch last week, is that you lost hearts and minds. You still have to win back those hearts and minds. This is a great step, but this is by far nowhere near the final step. So, yes, there is still a lot of work to do. But like to your point, Jim, like you said, giving it the benefit of the doubt, I think this puts you in a more positive way of taking that right step, and hopefully that can continue.
All righty. Move on to.
I was about to do it myself if it didn't come in.
Yeah, with the delay, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
Full start there. Yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good.
No worries. I'm gonna let you and Riley start the conversation about Carter Smith, but I'll say this: it wasn't perfect, but it was smart, tough, and dependable, and gritty—all old Badger terms—and I like it. I want to hear what you guys have to say.
I think this is great. And actually, to answer a little bit about the last question, too, of, you know, where this puts Wisconsin, does this give me hope in Luke Fickell? The three names that we mentioned, Carter Smith, Cooper Catalano, Mason Posa, those are all Luke Fickell guys. And mm-hmm. by no means is this like, all right, this is the final product. This is what we need to do. But those are three guys that Luke Fickell recruited. And yes, it took a little more time than expected for them to be those big time players making big time plays. But at the same point, it does give you a little bit of hope, too. But going back to Carter Smith, as he said in the post game, Riley, it gives him mm-hmm. hope. It gives him that idea that, you know what, we're not in the best position right now, but let's put him out there, see what happens. And I stick with the word that I said was effective. He wasn't this flashy quarterback who put up all these big numbers, but effective nonetheless because of his demeanor. Riley Mullman, a fifth-year senior, saying it's about his composure. He tried to make sure that he was good and was calm and ready to go into this one. But if anything, he said Carter Smith, he went in there, he was calm, he knew what to do. That's just who he is. For a true freshman to have that type of moxie, have that type of composure, mm-hmm. I got to tip my hat off to him.
Yeah, and I talked to Vinny Anthony yesterday, and he echoed those same sentiments. So at the very least, even if the coaching staff doesn't quite trust Carter Smith to have the full reins of the offensive arsenal yet, like, he still has the respect of his elder teammates, which I think is huge. And you bring up the moxie. Like, his first two big runs of the game, like the first play from scrimmage he gets in the game after Danny O'Neill goes down, and he's just losing his mind, freaking out, like barking at the Washington sideline. That was awesome. Like, that's the energy we're looking for. And the crowd responded, and they were fantastic the rest of the game. Like, that is the kind of youthful exuberance, as Jim called it earlier in reference to me, that we need on this team. And the fact that Carter Smith, Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano, Thomas Heiberger, another linebacker who got a shot
yesterday.
Now you're
getting into the deep. This is guys naming dudes
exactly.
at this point.
But these young guys that Fickell recruited, when their names are called, are ready to roll. And obviously Carter Smith didn't quite play to the level of Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa, and neither did Tommy Heiberger. But these young guys that Fickell recruited are legit. And I think, again, if you still believe in Fickell, like I think most of us do on this show, that is something tangible you can look at and be like, the youth on this team is so, so good and such a massive bright spot for this team.
I love it. Jim, you were out in the stands. It sounds like Jim. Yep. Jim, you were out in the stands. What was that buzz like? What was it like when Carter Smith came out? Obviously, again, the situation that brought him out a little earlier because of the Danny O'Neill injury, but nevertheless, the talk about Carter Smith getting out there still brought some electricity. What was it like in those stands?
It was interesting because we know who Carter Smith is. Those who watch this show know who Carter Smith is. Fans, a lot of them. Obviously, there was a big explosion of cheers overall that you could hear. For the first time in a while, there was cheers at Camp Randall. But, like, the people around me, I was listening to him talk, and they're like, yeah, I think he's like a sophomore. I don't know. You know, like, most fans didn't know a lot about him. Some were like, oh, this is our fourth-string quarterback, or I think I know a little bit of maybe they like him. So it's funny mix of there was definitely mostly the student section were like, oh, I want this guy. This will be great. And then the other people were like, what's going on? But
way to bridge the gap, Jim. Way to be the man of the people.
But it really was. I mean, because you heard there was a cloud. There was a murmur and a little bit of a cheer in that crowd. But then as you're talking to people, you're like, they don't know. They don't know who this guy is. So it was a kind of funny little mix there.
It was funny because same situation for me, too. I was sitting next to one of my friends through AAJA. Shout out the Asian American Journalists Association Sports Task Force, Andy Yamashita, who writes for the Washington Huskies. I was sitting next to him in the press box, basically giving him the rundown of Carter Smith and the whole thing. And a friend of mine, too, also covers the Huskies over in Seattle at the Fox station, basically gave her like a one paragraph, not even like four sentences real quick of like the quarterback situation and the whole season. So it was like, I'm right there with you in a different degree. We've seen a lot this season, that's for sure. And it's good to see that Carter Smith right now is an exclamation point on that long sentence that I wrote to a lot of people.
All right, let's get to the clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around. And yesterday I had the opportunity to chat with Mason Posa, or actually I should say Mason Posa chatted with us. This was in his media scrum. I did not ask this question that elicited this answer, but here is the full question and answer. Mason Posa is very, very bullish on the future of the Badgers.
First thing people will always kind of say on social media is, you're hang on to this guy. How are you going to hang on? How do you feel? What do you feel about the decision you've made so far to come to Wisconsin? How do you feel about the future of the program?
Yeah,
now?
I mean, it's only up from here. You know, that was a huge win, first game win since 21. And, you know, it's only going to keep going. So the future's bright. You know, 26 class we have going on. You know, I've texted some of those dudes, and, you know, I think we're really going to build something special in Madison, and we're going to be national title contenders, and I promise you that.
As you can see, there's a lot of background noise. It's difficult to hear, but the
guys getting after it.
Yes, that was the energy you could hear. Like, people were whooping, having a great time, which was awesome to see. But the crux of what Posa said is that the future is very bright. He knows a lot of the members of the class of 2026 coming in, and that the Badgers will be national title contenders. He promises that. Your guys' thoughts?
I want to go back to what Evan Cohen said on Jim, Matt, and Molly. Maybe we should have him on the Jumper on at some point, too. Is the Badgers, and I think he said this in Wilding Talish as well. I love his enthusiasm post this, but like, let's just focus on being the best in the Big Ten, or let's focus on being like, you got a level set here. The Badgers got to climb up some levels. Let's get out of the dregs of the Big Ten. Let's get back in front of Illinois and Iowa and Indiana. Maybe not Indiana anymore, but you know what I mean. Like, let's climb up and be consistently that team that's that Iowa, Illinois level, and honestly, just the Illinois level. Because at times, Illinois could say that they were in the national championship hunt this year or last. They weren't really in it, but they were close enough that like they sniffed the playoffs with the right break. So if the Badgers, and I hate to say this, but if the Badgers can get to Illinois' level, then I guess you could, with a semi-straight face, say like, hey, they're in the conversation. they'd be kind of in the also in the hunt if you're talking NFL. But get to Illinois and then call me, and I do think they can get to Illinois' level and then see where it goes, but they got a few levels to go.
You know what? I'm just going to go all in on it and steal the Michael Jordan last dance-ism. Maybe I've said it on here a few times, and I'll say it again. It takes one match to start that fire. But I'm with you on that, too, though, because, again, it is a gradual step. It is a gradual process. But, man, why not? Again, like we said, is Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano, Carter Smith, they didn't come here just for the heck of it. They came here because they want to be a part of something bigger than them, and that's being in the national title conversation. So you know what? Why not? You have a great week. You have this type of confidence, and you build off of that confidence. Hey, if people are like, you want to make a meme out of it, whatever the case is, go for it. You know what? Have dreams that are big enough where people might laugh at you for it. But if you feel confident enough to say it, then go for it. I love the moxie that he brings to that table.
Totally agree. Let's get to, I think, the world's favorite part, which is Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
It is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. And today, we got some fun ones today. I'm pretty excited. Let's start.
Send it.
With a potential recruit for the Badgers talking about young guys.
Yeah.
Tweet from Hayes Fawcett. This got to be the best name in college football, potentially. And that's what I'm going to ask you here next. We have Quantavious Fat Boy Wiggins coming to Wisconsin in the class of 2026. Guys, does it get any better than being named Quantavious Fat Boy Wiggins? Like, this is the best name ever, right? Like, come on.
Well, Quantavious Wiggins is a pretty elite name.
Exactly. Yeah. Just by itself.
Fat Boy. Yeah, yes. And it's crazy this nickname's not like Q or something, but
Fat Boy
for
Q.
Wisconsin, especially. Yeah, especially for Wisconsin, Fat Boy works. And I would say coming in, like retroactively, Great Dane is awesome, but like you had to be great before Great Dane worked, you know, like that kind of stuff. So I love it coming in. And as a proud Florida Atlantic University, an FAU Owl, I love that the Badgers took a guy from FIU.
I love the
double win for me.
Yeah. I love the idea of future hearing him over the PA, what it's like. Fat Boy, 30-yard gain, first and goal, Wisconsin. Like, that's going to be electric.
Mike Mankey.
Mike Mankey doing that? Come on. I'm all for it.
Fat Boy Wiggins Q. on the carry.
Fat Boy Q.
Yeah, I love it. I'm really excited for this guy to get legitimate minutes at Wisconsin. And now, since our guest Jeff Levering is ready to go, I will end with this. Yesterday was Veterans Day, so I just wanted to give everyone the opportunity to honor family members or friends that they know that are currently either serving in the military, served, whatever. Any veterans that you know, would love for you guys to get the opportunity to plug them, as it apparently Knockoff Bucky is a veteran. Congratulations to him. But Jim, yeah. Let's start with you.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, my dad sent the pictures late, but my
no worries.
Grandfather with my dad's father, my grandpa was injured in the war and got a Purple Heart. And then the Korean War, and then my granddad on my mom's side served in the Navy. So both of them served. He was World War II, I believe. So that's the service on the Rutledge side of things, or Rutledge and Drummond, I guess, if I want to be fully accurate. Give credit to both sides of the family there. That's the most recent history for us.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to both sides, Iglesias, Mark, my late uncles, Steve Mark, and my late uncle Mitch Hale, serving, and also also retired, currently watching the show, I believe, too. My uncle Charlie Garcia from the Iglesias side of my family, too. Just a lot of great people. And also wanted to give a shout out to one of our teammates, too, Dennis Semrau, part of our Prep Mania squad. I know that he is a proud veteran as well. Want to give a shout out to friends and family, you know, very close friend of mine from college. She's part of an Air Force family. She's in the Air Force. Both of her parents met in the forces as well. So a lot of ties personally. So just want to say thanks to all the veterans. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everything that you've done for this country. And very proud to get to know these people and get to say that they're in the corner over here.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I just want to shout out my grandpa Jim Healy there on the left. That was him on his honor flight. He actually also received a Purple Heart out in Vietnam, and like many Vietnam vets, did not get a friendly welcome home. So I know this honor flight meant a ton to him, and I am so grateful that he served our country for all he did there, and for him as my grandpa, because he's a pretty awesome grandpa. So with that, but that'll do it for the Badgers Twitter portal.
All right, as Riley hinted, Jeff Levering is coming up in a second. First, let me tell you about Steinhoffel's Black Friday mattress sale. It's happening now. Steinhoffel's is Wisconsin's mattress leader, and right now you'll find incredible Black Friday deals on their best brands, plus 60 months, 0% financing. Save up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic sets, $900 on Beautyrest, and even $900 on certified organic avocado sets, available exclusively at Steinhoffel's. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to upgrade your sleep, this is it. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Jeff Levering, who's calling the Badger game, coming up next.
It's here, Steinhoffel's Black Friday sale. Get a jump on the savings with amazing doorbusters and closeouts like any size Sealy, $99. A dining table, $4.99. This sofa, also $4.99. A queen bed, $5.99. And find even more incredible deals store-wide. Plus, take advantage of 36-month 0% financing. Don't wait for Black Friday. Save today. The Black Friday sale is happening now, only at Steinhoffel's and steinhoffels.com.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Jeff Levering, and he's on the call for the Badger game against Indiana. And Jeff, I want to talk about the Badgers, but I mean, you still got it. You look like you're just still feeling the vibes from the Brewers season this year. So, hey man, I respect it. Actually, I'm in Oklahoma, and I can need my sunglasses down here right now. So it is gorgeous out where we're at, but you got to be able to look back at this Brewers season, even though the postseason didn't run as far as we wanted, but we're a proud home of Brewers baseball here on ESPN Madison, and it was a heck of a run.
It really was, and listen, it caps off the Manager of the Year for a second straight season for Pat Murphy, too, so it was a great run, right? You finished the best team in the National League and got a lot of that core coming back next year. A lot to be pleased with as a Brewer, and more just to be in the state of Wisconsin and having a great team to cheer for. It's a great summer in Milwaukee, there's no doubt.
Jeff, I want to stick on Brewers baseball real quick. One word to describe this season, and what is that one word? I know it's a tough one, but I got to ask you.
It was memorable. I mean, there was a lot of great stuff that happened this season, right? You had the 14-game winning streak. That's never happened in franchise history. You're seeing guys come out of the woodwork and really help this team out. It was a really memorable season. I'll always remember 2025 for what it was. Franchise record in wins with 97. Finished with 100 wins on the season after taking down the Cubs in the division series. There was a lot to remember from this this last year, and I was lucky enough to have a front row seat.
And, you know, with that and how much excitement there was for the Brewers, it's been kind of the opposite for the Badgers. And I want to get to them in a minute, but I wanted to get a little bit of, I guess, a little inside broadcasting here. I'm guessing calling baseball games is your passion here, but what's that change up like going from baseball to then jumping into the Big Ten season and getting caught up or staying up to date? Like, how's that been for you, and what makes you, like, want to call as many different things as you can?
I like to keep my mind sharp, right? I like to keep the, and my apologies for the car ride. I feel like I'm doing riding in cars with Jerry Seinfeld. but my son's at a piano practice right now, so I'm just kind of sitting outside while he's practicing the piano. but listen, I really like to stay sharp. I really like to challenge myself, and having the opportunity to do college football, big time college football, for the last few years has been a lot of fun for me. Started Big Ten Network and then kind of morphed into the Fox and had a full package a couple of years ago, and now being on the A Crew with Jake Butt and Brooke Fletcher for the Big Ten Network, we've had some great games. We've covered some great programs. We had Ohio State last week. We had some four times last year. It's the first time we get to see Wisconsin this year. But I love to challenge myself, and big time college football is a major challenge with what it provides. And now, after September, the baseball and football crossover, I had just football for a little while there in October after the playoffs were over. And now November is here where I have basketball and football crossover. So I don't really know what city I'm in any given day or what area code I'm in, but I love all the work that I do. It keeps my mind sharp and keeps food on the table.
Jeff, before we go into talking about more about the Badger team and this week's game, one quick question, because just related to career advice, too. You mentioned you want to challenge yourself. You want to get out there for, you know, the younger broadcasters, the next generation that's up and coming, to keep challenging yourself. What other advice do you have to make sure that you stay sharp and you also keep that palate pretty diverse?
I would always just recommend never saying no, right? If an opportunity comes up, whatever it is, whatever, if you're broadcasting or learning something in the production truck, or maybe you're working in stadium graphics or whatever it is, never be afraid to do something that's outside of your comfort zone. You never know what you're going to fall in love with, right? You might think that you're a football guy, you might think you're a baseball guy only or basketball guy only, and then you end up doing a volleyball game and you fall in love with it. So never be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and do something different. And also, I would always recommend learn everything. Learn what every single person on your production crew does. Always do that. That's where I started. I started in the truck. I started behind the scenes, and it has made me a better play-by-play guy because I know what it takes to do all those other jobs.
I think that's fantastic advice. I mean, I'm old, but I took that advice on my way up, so I'm not the ascending broadcaster that Pablo is. But with the Badgers here, they're coming off of a remarkable win, first win over a top 25 team since 2021, a rare Big Ten win under Luke Fickell. It was a heck of a week on ESPN Wisconsin, whether it's Brust or Alvarez or myself. We're all kind of just saying, how can Mac and the Badgers do this? And then Fickell goes out and wins. It was a unique win. The weather definitely played a factor as I was at that game. The punter leading the team in passing yards has got to be a first for an upset like that. But with a new quarterback out there for Wisconsin and coming into this game, like, what are you watching for with the Badgers? Indiana, they're an elite team. They're very talented, and they're a horrible matchup with their ability to move the ball in the ways that the Badgers really can't.
Okay, so don't look at numbers. That's the first thing I'm going to say, right? You know, win is a win is a win. Take the win. Yeah. Any way you can get one, right? That's the most important thing. And the Badgers needed that win so badly. The defense played great. Posa was unbelievable. Catalano was unbelievable playing linebacker position. So there's a lot to be excited about with the linebacker position with Wisconsin. They're banged up. There's no doubt they're banged up, right? They're on their fourth quarterback and a guy out team and wasn't even a thought to be playing major college football this year for them. He ends up having 12 pass attempts last week. As you mentioned, the punter is a leading passer in the game last week. You're on your fourth string running back, who's now your starting running back in a Tuca. So don't look at the numbers. Yes, the matchup this week is not great with Indiana. They're super efficient. They're really impressive. But what the Badgers did make Damon Williams look as uncomfortable as he looked at times was really impressive. And I think you can hang your hat on that. And it'll be a different challenge. It's senior day. A lot of these guys are playing for the last time at Indiana in Bloomington. There's going to be a lot of conversation about that over the course of the week. Mendo's been unbelievable. He is a Heisman candidate. But if you get good defense and get some stops here and there, keep it close. Keep it close. And as long as you keep it close, you believe if you're Wisconsin.
That's a perfect way to go into what I was thinking too, of just having that belief. I mean, there's mostly, it feels pretty positive after that win on Saturday, but there's a little chirps here and there of saying, oh, well, it's a fluke. It is whatever. I said, you know, stealing the last dance-ism. It takes one match to start a fire. After that win on Saturday, Jeff, do you feel like that, even if it's just a small, small ember, do you feel like that's there? Is this a one-off for Wisconsin? What are your thoughts?
I think it needs to be, right? You need to have some of those foundational building blocks. You need to have something to get excited about. Badger fan, if you're a Badger player, whatever it is, you need to have something that you can look back on and go, oh, yeah, that was it. That was it. That could be not a program-defining moment, but it could be a season-defining moment. And for somebody who might be on the fence on whether or not they're coming back for next season, that could be a huge moment for them to say, yeah, I come back. So those are the things that Luke Fickell and this coaching staff needs to look at, right? And to have a good week of practice. And yes, have the vibes been good and you win on Saturday and you can savor it for a couple of minutes and then, okay, well, it's on to Indiana. This win, I feel like, lingered more than other wins because it felt so different. To have that belief in the locker room now is super important for the Badgers. And again, you just try and stack them. This week's going to be a tough one against Indiana. But if you beat Indiana, if you upset this team in Bloomington, the Badgers are going to be the talk of football for a week. You have college football for because of what you accomplished. I think that's what the message has to be for Luke Fickell and this team this week.
The last thing I have for you is, and you kind of alluded to it here, but obviously you've been in clubhouses and locker rooms with all the play-by-play that you've done. And you can see, and you kind of alluded to, the winning can be contagious, losing can be the other way. How much just obviously snapping it, but then snapping the top 25 streaks, snapping the Big Ten streak, and just getting a win can change everything about a football team or any team in one game. And that's kind of what Pablo's alluding to. But losing is, I forget, Major League or what baseball movie it was like losing's a disease. And it kind of just, maybe it's the natural. I can't remember which one it was, but it is something that drags you down. And to finally get that monkey off your back and really make things a lot better for a team.
It is the natural. My favorite. Okay. Losing is a disease as contagious as bubonic plague. And I'm not going to be put to sleep by some 2-bit carny hypnotist. I ain't going to do it, Pop. I ain't going to do it. So just for your movie reference of the day, there you go. But yes, it can. And those negative thoughts can creep in. I think negative thoughts creep in a lot easier than positive thoughts. And with as many negative thoughts that we're going through this program, with the injuries that have struck to the top guys in the depth chart, to everything else, you could have got really negative really fast. And if you lose that game to Washington, then it gets super dark. That becomes a really dark place. It becomes a really hard place to show up for work, to show up to class, and have other people talking about you behind your back. That is not a fun place to be. And I think that this win really lifted the campus. I know it's basketball season and the Badgers are playing well. They're off to a 3-0 start. I have their game on Monday, by the way, against SIU Edwardsville. So the Badger fans are stuck with me for a couple of games. But there's a lot of, because of that win on Saturday, it just changes the pulse on campus, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, Jeff, I think you put it perfectly. Again, it's a stepping stone. That's what we talked about for this team. Now, in terms of where they go from here, I mean, do you feel like that there is a lot of faith in those young guys? I mean, they had an exciting week. You look at Carter Smith, you look at Cooper Catalano, you look at Mason Posa coming off some pretty strong weeks, maybe not the best stats for Carter Smith, but again, what excites you the most about those young guys that are coming up for this group for Wisconsin and should give fans some hope too?
I think it's just the fact that they have proven that they belong, right? They have, you know, Posa was a wrestler and didn't have a lot of opportunities to play football. He comes to Wisconsin and he has turned himself into a super Catalanato. He was unbelievable. And the stories that I've been reading up on him, he's from Germantown, which is right in Menominee Falls, you know, learning about these kids and where they've come and, you know, the bet that he had to get to 230 pounds. And the work that he's had to get to 230 pounds just goes to show what these guys care about and how passionate they are about Badger football. And I think that it's really important to get that win and you go, okay, well, we believe we can do this. We just took down number 23 Washington. They should have been ranked all season. Were they? No, but they were number 23 in the country last week. You took down a top 25 team. Where can we go from here? Those are the important things to take from that, from the guys, just to get a taste of what winning is like.
Jeff, we appreciate you taking the time to join us to talk a little Badger football, and congratulations on a really fun Brewers season. And we're looking forward to hearing the call this weekend.
You got it. Appreciate you guys. Good one.
See you, Jeff.
All right. Thank you. That was Jeff Levering, Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch. This has been, and happy Veterans Day, this has been the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show on the ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison YouTube streams.